Thank you, everyone. Shall we start? I'd like to welcome everybody to the meeting. Our agenda for today, colleagues, shall we get settled, honorable members and administration? We have a bit of a huge task ahead of us. We need to start. We should have started actually promptly in terms of the time. We are 10 minutes late, so we've got to start immediately. Colleagues, today we are dealing with the legislation that is before us and would have to move clause by clause in terms of the amendments. And finally, we'll have to agree on the legislation. Anela, I think we'll have to vote on it for it to go into the House, to the National Assembly. Is that correct? Yeah. So we must have voting of this legislation so that it's recorded as the committee having agreed to the legislation so that it can qualify to go to the National Assembly agenda. You'd note, colleagues, that we had raised a number of issues that we had, so specifically on the issue of adult basic education. And in this regard, I'm going to allow the DG of Department of Higher Education and Training, Prof. Mary Metcalf, to start the process by giving us an input with that. Welcome, DG and your team. She'll give us the input, and then we'll move into the legislation. I'm hoping that, DG, I know that you are going to address that. So it's in response to some of the queries that we had on the adult education. Just to bring you on board, DG, as you are going to deal with this, the concern, I'm hoping that your team prepared you and briefed you properly, the concern is around the dropping weight of basic and even the movement from the level, because it's reflected that you're moving from level 1, because initially it was level 1 to 4 and now providing the lesser level. But I think that's more contentious issue that we have. But as we will be moving from legislation point by point, we'll deal with that. But I just thought that we should give you an opportunity to present and give us in trying to deal with the issues that were raised in the last meeting. Over to you, teacher.
Thank you very much.
Mic on, did you?
Is that because of the urgent court case, you might have to leave at the bottom for brief sections of the day, but we will still be present as a department. So I will try and be very quick with this presentation, but if I can say that I think that this presentation may assist in terms of understanding the importance of adult education in the Department of Higher Education and Training and what is intended in terms of the law. As we know, the law is not making any changes, but this is changes to policy, but it's clarifying for the purposes of the committee so that you understand what the current law says, because no policy changes are being proposed. The other reason why I think it's useful to have the opportunity to make this presentation is, to some extent, it might assist when the committee deals with the proposed constitutional amendment, which is still coming to the House, because it will give background information for that. So the presentation is on adult education, and I thought I would just start very quickly with the legislative framework. Firstly, it's very frustrating because this screen isn't on and I have to look through your head. Sorry. It's okay. Thank you. Everybody knows that the legal responsibilities of the Minister of Higher Education and Training as an entirely new ministry, an entirely new department, were provided in terms of the presidential proclamations, and those the committee is familiar with. In terms of those proclamations, there was a range of education legislation that was assigned to the minister, and the committee is now familiarizing itself with that long list. It's the National Education Policy Act, the Higher Education Act.
Did you have copies? Because it's really difficult. The room is not conducive.
You know, I'm so sorry that the minister's person is busy preparing the minister for the next meeting, so I think that we'll have to make the focus of the presentation. Normally the minister's parliamentary person manages the distribution, so we apologize. So that's the list of legislation. But what's interesting in terms of that legislation is that minister has full responsibility for some of the legislation, and some of the responsibility is shared legislation with the Minister of Basic Education, and that's because those would have been pieces of legislation that are applicable to functions that remained with basic as well as functions that have shifted to higher education and training. But those are the acts that the minister has full responsibility for: higher education, NSFAS, adult ed, further ed, and the NQF. He's got administrative responsibility only for sections of the other acts, but in terms of ABET centres, there's specific sections that have been transferred to the minister which relate to ABET centres: NEPA, GenFEDCA, Employment of Educators Act, and the SACE Act. Now we need to look at the question of definitions, and now this is where the ideas are the ones that you've been looking at. The definitions in terms of the ABET Act are that an adult means a person who is 16 years or older. It's a really interesting thing in terms of the general laws in South Africa because of the definitions of child, minor, adult. But if purposes of the ABET Act, it's a person who's 16 years or older. Now, you might say, why 16? Because generally in legal provision, adults are sometimes regarded as older and minor is from 16. The reason for that, Chairperson, is because the current policy position in South Africa is that education is compulsory up until the age of 16. So anybody who's under the age of 16 must by law be in school. That's the distinction. School, post-school. 16, compulsory. So when we start conceptualizing as we are, what do we mean by post-school education and training system, we're conceptualizing post-16-year-olds. We won't find people under the age of 16 in any of our institutions. Unless there's some remarkable gifted story on the front page of them. So adult basic education means all learning and training programs for adults from levels 1 to 4, where level 4 is equivalent to grade 9 in public schools. So it's not the same as the general national qualifications framework. It's a particular, and I'll tell you why, is that if you look at the national qualifications framework, the gradations at the lower ends are driven by a conception of general education, further education, and higher education. And the gradations that are required to take adults through the steps to get them to what would be equivalent of NQF level 3 in the General Act would mean that they work forever without getting any sign of progress. So in terms of adult basic education, there's levels 1 to 4, where level 4 is equivalent to grade 9 in public schools. And level 4 of the adult is equivalent to level 1 of the NQF. Because in the NQF, if you look at general schools, the first time people write or have the possibility of writing a formal exam is grade 9. It's therefore level 1. Okay? Level 2 is matric, and then you move on. So levels 1 to 4 in ABET is to provide the possibility of adults seeing signs of their progression. So the national qualification framework level one is completed South African qualification. So level four is equivalent to grade nine or level one of SAQA. Now, if we remember what the Constitution currently says, it says everyone has the right to a basic education, including adult basic education. It's a fundamental right. The second thing is that everyone has a right to further education, which would mean education post NQF level one, which the state through reasonable measures must make progressively available and accessible. So the right to a basic education is part of the Bill of Rights. The right to levels of education post basic is dependent on the state's capacity to grow that incrementally. Now, there's still major challenges for the sector. The first is that the ABET Act is still a concurrent function, and the same language that I use when I describe the delineation of responsibilities for FET Act, I will use here. When you read the ABET Act, when it says MEC, it means MEC. When it says head of department, it means head of department. Those are the people that have line function responsibility. Those are the people that are responsible in terms of the ABET Act. Should the constitutional amendment succeed, and the responsibility for adult education post the age of 16 move entirely to the minister, then we will have to establish the departmental capacity to do that, and there is a constitutional amendment proposed which will be coming. Now, my understanding, Chairperson, is that the committee was saying, you know, we see so much of this department, we don't always hear about what's happening with adult education, and you wanted to get a sense of what's happening, and so I'll go through this very quickly. The first thing is my challenge to the sector, the organized sector of ABET, which has been there as part of the social movement, part of the struggle for democracy in this country for a long time, is that we've got to start rethinking what we mean by the adult learner, because there's simplistic response might just say that the post-school education and training system responds to all youth and adults. So I know that there's some people in this committee who are still studying. Well, you adult learners. My child is 22 years old at university. He's an adult learner. But that's not who the movement's been talking about historically. It's another specifically group. But all adults are adult learners. Now we need a greater clarity of definition about the particular group that we have cared about. And the way that the law has taken this forward is that the Kariguri ABET is in basic, but all adults post-functional literacy are the responsibility of the Department of Higher Education and Training. When Minister talks about adult education in the department, he doesn't say ABET, he says AET, AET, because the basic is with basic. And if I try, and I've proposed this to the National Learning Network of Adult Educators, because I'm trying to get them to have the debate around how we define adult learners. So this is just an informal proposal around how we should understand this group of adults. And we await debate with them. But we're saying that adults who constitute the special group of AET are adults who have not been provided with an educational base to access education and training opportunities to pursue their goals. Now, what I mean by that is that they're adults who want to get a matric. They've never been able to get a matric. They've never been able to get the qualifications that would enable them to enter a college or a university or to access other training and skills opportunities. That's the group of adults that we're concerned about. What's the age of those people? Well, so I'll come to that. What I'm going to say is, can I come back, Chairperson, to the question of what's the age of those people? If we look at the legal definitions of who the adult learners are, the Constitution, as I've indicated, defines a child to be under the age of 18, but children in the age 16 to 15 are compelled to attend school. The concept of youth is a political issue. How do we define youth? Some people put the age of youth up until the age of 34 years, 11 months, and 30 days, and then when you... Yeah, exactly. So youth is a concept that hasn't yet been defined in education laws. Adult is defined in ABET Act as a person older than 16 years. So the definition of adult may be amended to read, adult means any person who is not compelled to attend a school in terms of the Schools Education Act and who intends or is admitted to a public or registered private education institution other than a school is deemed to be an adult in terms of this act. Now there's a nice legal definition for you, but you've got to think about it. Okay. Now I'm going to just refer to some of the debates in the sector. The Mail and Guardian in July had a supplement, Learning for All, and Andrew Miller, who runs ProLit, is one of the last surviving big NGOs in the field of adult basic education and training, said something that I found very interesting in his piece. He said, firstly, who is the adult learner? Firstly, there remains a group of adult learners, largely, well, this is a generalization, largely rural, over the age of 40, who want basic reading and writing skills to empower themselves to read government notices, the Bible, write letters, and that's who we've often had at the back of my minds when we think about adult education. Now, what's emerging now is a hunger for more opportunities, is that the adult education centers and adult education initiatives are increasingly having to respond to another group, and the second and third group are very interesting. He says younger and more urban. I'm not sure if he's correct, but certainly that's his observation. They want to repeat a matric type of exam that will enable them to enter institutions of higher learning. So they're going to the ABET centers because they want access to higher education and they don't know where else to go. A third group wants a rapid learning program in English or math because they want to access trades. So there's a large group of young people and adults who, if you go back to my simple definition proposed to the sector, saying these are adults who need more foundational education in order to access the opportunities that they want. So the principles of the post-school education and training system is that everybody over the age of 16, we need to bring into a post-school education and training system which responds to youth and adults in terms of what the economy needs, what our development challenges need, and our colleges, our universities, our public adult learning centers, and our workplace and work training centers have to, in an articulated way, look after that entire group. So the public adult learning centers historically have been to take adults from the functional literacy through the grades, the levels 1, 2, 3, 4 of ABET, so that they then are at level 1 of the NQF and then they can move on. That's the specific role of ABET centers. Should the ABET centers remain focusing only on that, when you can see that the demand is that they start being different? So if there's a sense that we've been neglecting the adult education center, I don't think that's the case. Both the HRDSA and the NSDS3 draft framework addresses adult education in the sense that I've described it explicitly. HRDSA says we will urgently implement skills development programs purposely aimed at equipping citizens and recipients with skills to overcome scourges of unemployment and poverty. Unemployed adults, especially to women, access to skills development program, making sure all unemployed adults have access to training opportunities in literacy and ABET. Interesting, literacy and ABET, because historically the movement has very much been about literacy. Commitment 5, we'll ensure that young people have access to education and training that enhances opportunity, increases their chances of success, and vocational training programs for the youth that are focused on employment and creation. Leverage public and private sector programs to create employment. The NSDS framework, and if we just explain why I think this is very important, the National Skills Development Strategy in law is the strategy that is the policy document to guide the spending of the National Skills Fund. The law says that we may spend against the National Skills Fund in terms of the National Skills Development Strategy. So it's one of the most important documents for people to understand. There's been extensive national consultations on NSDS3. The NSA is shortly going to finalize its recommendations to the minister about National Skills Development Strategy 3. But what does the National Skills Development Strategy 3 say about adult education and training? Basically, it uses this language, which I should have used earlier, about raising the base, raising the education level of people who need more education in order to proceed. So that's what we mean by raising the base. And we're saying that we need programs which make it possible for adults and youth to have access to education and training opportunities that will enable them to move up to NQF level 4. This is foundational learning programs, adult education and training programs, and they're broadly envisaged to fill in the learning gaps left by inadequate schooling. That's exactly, goes back to my early definition of what is an adult learner. But if you look at this, NFD3 is saying something that's incredibly powerful for the historic ABET literacy and numeracy, just as important movement, is that we're saying that in terms of disbursements from the NSF fund, where sectoral or national programs specify any entrance requirement of NQF level 4, as soon as you start saying you can only come into this program if it's at NQF level 4, it must be complemented, it's an E, not I, by the provision of either AET or foundational learning programs which enable other people to meet those goals. It's a very powerful provision. Very powerful provision. Then the response to what came before the committee last week is the request for amendment of the Adult Education and Training as contained in the High Laws Amendment Bill. In terms of Adult Learning Network submission, the main comment relates to the amendment of Adult Education and Training as contained in the High Education and Training Laws Amendment Bill. And the commentator wants an extended scope of qualification to include levels 2 to 4. Well, I think that that may be a misunderstanding of the fact that there's a separate adult education 1 to 4 that then becomes equivalent to NQF level 4. You can't have adult education and training centers that are taking people up to NQF level 4 because then it's a replication of colleges, replication of universities. So I think that we've answered that. But it's a very important, thank the Adult Learning Network for raising it because I think it's given an opportunity for that to be clarified in all of our minds. The amendments would have policy implications because we already are struggling just to bring that particular group of adults up to the level of grade 9. And if you start saying adult education centers must now do everything else, it would be complicated. In fact, what we would like to see, and if it goes back to the quotes that I used from Miller, is that if there is going to be any transformation of adult education and training centers, we would like to see them much more aligned towards skills programs and access to skills programs. We want definitely adults that want to be in Miller's first group of being able to read the Bible to be able to consolidate post-Kari Gude, to be able to develop their skills for those private and public purposes for which they need literacy and numeracy. But we also recognize that there's a large number of adults and young people who actually want access to adult education to access skills. So in the way that we transform the adult basic education training centers or continue to their development is that we do want to see them as access to skills, and that would be that we would be working with the QCTO, which has responsibility for accrediting qualifications from levels 1 to 10 of the NQF. And I think that the concerns, which are important concerns from the Adult Learning Network, they will be accommodated in that way. The question of a definition of an educator, do I need to address this or was it adequately covered? I think it was. Yeah?
The request was specifically around the issue of ABET, not on the educator, but I remember because we were asking for this part to be shelved and not be put so that we can proceed.
Okay. Thanks, Chairperson.
Okay. Thanks, DG, for the presentation. I think there are quite a number of areas. I see that you've attempted to respond to some of the issues that we have raised, and I think some of the comments are still coming back the same as we had disputed as the committee. I mean, the issues of the levels are still reflecting as we had said that we have a problem with them as the committee. I'll start and allow members to come through. DG, where I'm sitting, there's a bit of an issue I have on the definition that you have given on adult, that should we go to the provision of a service, adult basic education, and limit it because of the age issue? Because I think that's where you are dealing with a lot. Because I don't think that we can. Why do you want to define a service education based on age? And because it gives me a problem, because anyone could end up with within that category of adult education. And the other issue is around this notion. Just maybe give us a sense, this issue of AET and AVET, because in terms of the legislation, and again I'm coming to the issue of constitutional declarations in terms, as you reflected, Chapter 2. Is the department expecting us as Parliament to pass a bill that contravenes what is currently in the legislation, in the Constitution? Because if you are talking about an amendment of the Constitution that is still coming, I don't think that we can pass a legislation today that contravenes the current setting of Constitution, because we can be taken to Constitutional Court as Parliament, because it's quite risky. I would be comfortable whereby the department says we'll bring the changes to the Constitution first before we can proclaim in the bill something that will speak to that. Because otherwise it's quite, I just want comfort in that, because I don't think that constitutionally our mandate allows us to do that.
The what the committee must understand is that we're not asking you to make any changes. This already exists in law. The Adult Education Act, which was passed in 2000 and... It was early. 2008. No, no. We're much before that. Let's quickly go back. So in our law... from 2000... Our Parliament and our public has understood that the Constitution defines an adult as over the age of 18, but for the purposes of the ABET Act, the person that accesses the age is set to 16. So there's no contradiction with the Constitution. It simply says for the purposes of delivering a service, young children children under the age of 16 must be at school.
DG, the issue of constitutional contradictions, I'm speaking in terms of ABET and AET. The age is something else. I didn't refer to the Constitution on that one.
Yeah, then I'm afraid I simply don't understand the question, Chairperson. Because maybe Mr. Bosworth, because if I just conclude then, there's a definition pedagogically, informed by pedagogy, I think, in the President's mind, that you have basic education, which is aimed at young people and young adults at a developmental period of their life prior to 16 years of old. And the kinds of institutions that you provide for those younger people are qualitatively different as in their pastoral role as when they're adults. So that's why there's a difference in service delivery. If we said there shouldn't be any difference in service delivery and a child of the age of 12 must be able to leave school and go to an adult education and training center, then would we be able to provide the kind of care and concern for a 12-year-old child when, in fact, the rest of the people in the class are 40, 30, 25? Pedagogically, I think that we would have an uproar and that would be rejected. So under the age of 16, it's compulsory to be in school. That's a law that I think that we must defend. After the age of 16, there's a variety of education and training opportunities, whether you are 16 years and 1 month or 45. Perhaps Advocate Boshoff can help where I haven't understood you.
Thank you, Chair. I think that just to amplify further what the Chairperson was maybe trying to convey in her question is that when you look at ABET and when you look at the Constitution, the focus, there's two focal areas of the legislation. One, adults. Two, basic education. There seems to be a conflation with the idea that we're dealing with basic education and then we merge that into an age cohort. The age cohort is what determines what is an adult and who accesses the legislation. But the function of this legislation is to provide basic education to an adult. The adult is the beneficiary. But as a committee, we need to be asking ourselves, what is the basic education that the Constitution provides, and what is that standard? And I think that is what the chairperson is alluding to when she says, in your presentation, you refer to a constitutional amendment which is imminent. We have not, as a committee, seen the amendment, the constitutional, the proposed amendment, but yet we are asked in your presentation to consider that as a basis for the legislative amendment. And I think the chairperson is saying, are we not putting the cart before the horse? Satisfy the committee that we are doing the process correctly. Thank you, Chair.
I think it's a, now that I understand the question, I think let me assist you. There is no proposed amendment to 29(1)(a). So the right of adults to a basic education, which would be NQF level 1, remains unchanged in the proposed constitutional amendment. I keep saying you'll have an opportunity to add, Chairperson, if we can.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just allow, I think it's
for
something,
then I'm going to. Yeah, Chair, what's very important to understand is that this current act called ABET, Adult Basic Education and Training, is not defining the concept of what is basic education. It's not done through this act. That is, the concept of basic education is defined in terms of legislation previously called SAQA, South African Qualifications Authority, and now the National Qualifications Framework Act, which determines specific levels within which the different qualifications are defined to be the equivalent of basic, the equivalent of further, and the equivalent of higher. But it is not this act. This act is providing a structure for a specific type of institution to deal with the qualifications that is offered to adults at the level of NQF level 1, which is the same as what has been referred to by some as the ABET levels 1 to 4. It's subsections, break up, so divisions within that NQF level 1. There's no change in this legislation to the previous position. It is not in conflict with any provision of the Constitution, because the constitutional provision is still there. And even if there is a contradiction, the Constitution will in any event deal with it. What we've picked up is the word basic education is creating the impression that this is dealing with a demarcation of what is the meaning of basic. And this act does not do it. It's not the vehicle within which it's done, and therefore it is. That's exactly the attempt, to avoid this type of uncertainty and to bring it back to the focus of this piece of legislation, which focus on the institutional type, which deliver qualifications at level 1 to adult learners. That's the focus of this piece of legislation. It's not to be a or an act that flows from the Constitution in order to provide clarity on the Constitution. It's not classified as a constitutional act or a constitutional bill, which you would see as the Promotion of Administrative Justice Act and those specific pieces of legislation. What we've got here is an educational act which deals with an institutional type in education that focus on a specific level of qualifications within the system. The issue of the age.
Can you just park? Let's wait on the age. I just want us. I'm going to allow members to ask. Just to clarify. I want us to go back to the basics so that all of us are on board. What is it that you are requesting us to amend on the Higher Education Amendment and Training Laws Amendment Bill with reference to the
section on basic education. Maybe let's start there. Go back, take a step back, because I'm confused. As you explain every time, we're getting more confused. So that I allow, and then I'm going to allow members to come through into that.
Chair, the first principle is to bring what is currently spread out in a number of pieces of legislation, bring it all into one piece of legislation to make it more accessible and user-friendly for the system to understand and to implement. That's the first. Nothing changed. It is a matter of bringing it in to one piece of legislation. The second issue is to clarify the concepts, which is as a result of this bringing into which caused by the minister now being the Minister of Higher Education and Training, and the various qualifications that are now dealt with in different pieces of legislation, to clarify that within the totality of the statutory responsibility of the Minister of Higher Education. To give an example, we are now dealing with occupational qualifications. We are dealing with two sets of educational qualifications.
Let me interrupt, Mr. Advocate. All I'm asking, if you can clarify with reference to this issue of adult basic education specifically, so that we can move on it. I want to know what is it that the department specifically, remember this is the specific area we have stopped. So if you can clarify what is it required of us in this specific area.
Well, Chair, that's what I try to do is indicate, first of all, bringing all the legislation together. The second one is to deal with the concepts relating to the minister's responsibility. And one of those concepts are dealing with adult education. And the concept of adult education is the focus of this department. The fact that this specific act, the current act, refers to adult basic education, as I indicated, misleading. And that's why we are bringing it back to the focus of the minister's portfolio as being given by the president to deal with adult education post-school. And that is what we are trying to achieve. And the amendments are purely to address that.
Honorable Makubela, Honorable Kina, you are next. Honorable Mbonchani, Honorable James, and then Mshwana, you be last. In that order, members.
Try and ask it in a manner that, to me, it's so simple to be able to understand what is coming. DG, as you presented, you referred to the fact that the constitutional amendment will be necessary at some point, and that the basic education provision is within that constitution, and that here we may need to leave the issue of basic education because it's with basic Department of Basic Education. And in that Abbott Act, when it talks MEC, when it talks head of department, it's very specific, it's clear, and doesn't necessarily refer to the minister. Now, put differently, I think we in the same question. What will then change when we amend the Constitution with regard to what we are doing now? If now we're saying basic is with basic, therefore we can't refer to it, does it mean that after the constitutional amendment, we are likely to then bring back basic into this thing? Or basic will be gone? Perhaps that to clarify that.
Shall we take them?
Then
and assist. I don't think that the committee should be anxious about a constitutional amendment that hasn't yet come to it, because you must judge this act on itself, and then when a constitutional amendment comes, that will override any other act. So that's the first thing. I will say again that the constitutional amendment, as you understand, has nothing to do with taking away any rights in the Constitution. It's about moving the functional responsibility of FET and ABET to national. Deal with that when it comes. Let's put the constitutional amendment aside. Parliament has the power. Parliament must be satisfied that no rights are being removed. Now let's look at this legislation, which is your question, and that's why it's very helpful. This definition is a definition in law which is going to apply to both basic in terms of their responsibilities in terms of the law and higher education in terms of their responsibilities of the law. So there's nothing lost from this law, because some of it might be to be done here, some of it might be done there. What is this amendment saying? Section 1 of the ABET Act is amended by the substitution of the definition of adult basic in education and training to be now more specific. It's saying, instead of it saying ABET, because what does that mean, is what I've argued, it means all learning and training programs for adults equivalent to grade 9 or NQF. ABET means that it's adult education and training up to grade 9 or level 1. That's how it's defined. So in terms of, I think that might have helped. I hope so. Otherwise, Chairperson, I request that you let me leave at 25 past, because I have to find my way to the next committee. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to open, but... So you're saying that you're not removing the basic on that part?
No, we're just defining. Because what is ABET? I mean, I can see that there's practitioners in this room. If I said, what's ABET? Start saying, well, what is ABET? We're saying ABET is all the way up to grade 9. The adult equivalent of that remains in law. But instead of just saying ABET, we're defining it more clearly.
Okay. Shall I proceed, Honorable Kina?
Yes. No, I'm okay, because my plea was not to debate generally, but to look at the clause itself, what it says, because I was starting to wander all over the place, you know. Because you remember my initial question when this bill was introduced was, by removing the just basic, are we saying the Minister of Higher Education will have nothing to do with that which is basic in education? That was my initial reaction. Now, I sort of understand when you look at Clause 1A, and Clause 1H, why you are removing the concept basic. I think I'm with you now, as far as this specific act is concerned.
Thank you, Honorable James.
I'd just like to say that I have actually no difficulty with what's being proposed here, and that this is specific to the Higher Education and Training Laws Amendment Bill. And Clause 12, the rephrased Clause 12 is before us. I'm convinced that the request, I mean, I think where the difficulty set in, DG, is that in the process of reallocating the functions to the Department of Higher Education and Training, there was also an effort made to clarify certain things. And if that didn't happen, there wouldn't have been an issue. If it was simply a question of taking holus bolus, the existing sub-clauses in different pieces of legislation and moving it into that. So, but in the process now, I'm quite satisfied that in the process of providing clarification about what adult education is, that you're not slipping in something here that we are uncomfortable with. So that's the first thing. What I worry about are the consequences of doing this, but that will work its way out in policy. You can't anticipate that. And, of course, the Higher Education Laws Amendment Bill, which we are not talking about here now, but before the DG leaves, to say that I'm also happy with that proposal. Our worry as a committee is about the speed with which SAQA operates, okay, which is a general worry, because, the fact is that it just...
Can I call you to order, because we're dealing with this issue, and other people might still want to deal with the specific issue.
Thank you, Chairperson. Actually, I wanted to express my my satisfaction with the removal of the word basic, unless if I'm missing something, because basic may limit what the adult student is saying. That's my understanding, that is once there is basic, then you are talking of like reading and writing. We need them to have skills. Yes, I can see that the chairperson is shaking, but I'm trying to explain my understanding is that, you see, the word basic in itself might not have been doing any good. Maybe it's because I'm sitting next to the left today. Thank you.
DJ, I think we'll allow you to go. Okay, thanks. I'm just allowing the movement to happen and then we settle it. It's just not a user-friendly room. Don't have a break. I was allowing justice because this room, quite honestly, is not a user friendly. One person moves, it disturbs everybody else because the chairs, as they move, they are noisy. Walking is noisy, so it becomes difficult from the point of a chair to chair with the movement. Shall we start going to the legislation, because we need to go clause by clause, because we've received that in Titan. Hey, and they are so close to me. Their voices, I can hear everything. I'm almost about to respond to what they are discussing. Honorable members, shall we start with the Higher Education and Training, Higher Education and Training Laws Amendment? Oh, which one? Oh, starting with the 24 one. Sorry. There was something circulated, the two pages. I will allow the department just to speak quickly on it. I note it's on the bill that you are dealing with. Higher Education Laws Amendment Bill, B24, 2010. I see you've circulated, Advocate, you've circulated another proposal. You want to speak to it quickly?
Yeah, Chair. At the last meeting, it was my understanding that during the second day, the chair requested us to actually formulate something for the committee on the two issues that the committee on that day already accepted in principle as a possible amendment. And this is the attempt of the department with the state law advisor to give some guidance on the two issues. The one issue contained an aspect or a clause that is in the Higher Education Laws Amendment Bill. The other one is dealing with a clause which is in the Higher Education and Training Amendment Bill, and that's why it is on two different pages, and it is just to assist the committee. But it is not a proposal that is coming from the department, but obviously the department already indicated, and it was discussed also with the minister, that we support this amendment that came out, these two amendments that came out of the public hearings under the auspices of this committee.
Thank you. Members, shall we start? Starting with the first bill, Higher Education Laws Amendment Bill. I think it's page 2 that we're starting with, on section 1. Of the Higher Education Act, 1997. hereby amend that by the substitution of for the definition of department. Do you want me to, let's just agree on the approach. Do you want me to go word by word, or should, shall I say page 2, if there's anything we raise it, or do you want me to go word by word on it? Shall I just propose I go to the page, and then if there's anything, member will raise a hand, and then we agree upon the page. Okay. Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm, yeah, okay. Okay, page 2, subsection 1, any issue there on A and B? Where are you, which one?
And on page 1, page 1, under
page
bill.
No, this page under, 1 no. Is this one.
Are you not on higher education?
Yeah.
B24. Yeah. Page 24.
Yeah.
Where starts
bullet,
with
other? Bullet 1, yeah.
Are we having the same document?
Yeah.
We are not, eh? Or I'm using the one that has been distributed here. Is it not the same one?
I want to know.
No, I'm saying, remember.
Yeah?
Okay.
Honorable James tells me you covered it in my absence. I didn't attend the first meeting.
Okay. Let's just make sure that everybody has the same document that we have. I thought that I would use the one that the committee has given.
Yeah.
We are fine now, members. You can proceed next. Okay. So there's nothing on page 2. Honorable Winam, are you fine? There was a question that you had on page, I think, 2, on the certificate. Are you covered or?
If perhaps, Chair, you can clarify me, because I was not in, so I wanted, because there are so many types of certificates that universities can offer. It can be the certificate of attendance, you attend training for one day. It can be the certificate, degree certificate. So I wanted clarification.
So, in terms of the process, Chair, we are today at the stage where we are dealing with the bill clause by clause, where parties indicate their responses, whether they are against or for. We're past the stage where we explain and discuss, you know. I think that's where we are today. So my colleague, for example, is a little bit out of, not out of order, but out of the process.
Okay. Yeah, so you've been called to order, Honorable Minamo. So we shall. Any objection to the page 2? Any objection? We shall move to page 3. You'd have subsection 2 and 3. We are fine with it? Okay.
Sorry to interrupt, Chair, but on clause 3, it is one of the amendments that the committee asked us to look into, and that affects the issue of clarifying the aspect of certificate or a degree and diploma offered at higher education, and the amendment, the draft that we've prepared in assistance to this committee is relevant to that And I just want to draw the attention to that.
So what is on page 3,
what is on page 3, subsection, in terms of, it says on page 3 from line 26, to omit subsection 1 and to substitute 1 with what is read, no person may offer, award, or confer a degree or a higher education diploma or a higher education certificate provided for on the higher education qualification framework unless such degree, diploma, or certificate is registered on the SAPS framework for higher education on the national qualification framework contemplated in Section 7B, read with Section 13(1)(h) of the National Qualification Framework Act. That's what it's substituting with. Do we agree, members? This has been coming from our public hearing. Okay. Thank you. Anything else on that, on the last section 4? Those 4? Nothing. Shall we move to the next page, page 4? It's the remainder of clause 4 and also clause 5, clause 6, and clause 7. We are, okay, Honorable Mrs. Nolita.
I'm just looking at 5B. Just need a clarification, the advocate process. If the minister does not agree with the recommendation of the members, or of the members of the choosing, okay, that's fine. I thought the members were asking. No, that's fine. I'm fine.
We are safe from here. There's no, the minister is not disagreeing with us. So members, are we in agreement with those the clauses?
Yes.
Okay. We move to clause, to page 5. Clause 8, 9, 10, and I'll also jump to 11. Members? No problem with the clause. Page 6, we have clause 12, clause 13, clause 14, clause 15. No, it's not that one. Another law. No problem at all. And then we go to page 7. Oh, it's the memorandum. Which is nice, fine. So are we happy with this? Honorable Law. Okay. Honorable.
I want to say to the draft that the, I remember that the independent, what were those guys? Independent private high school provision offer political testing that. Who were they?
Independent Institute of Education.
Yes, and I'm saying that I want to place it here that the way that I think the committee responded and the access to them has been captured sufficiently by this amendment. That's what to say.
Honorable members, we move to the next legislation, B25. I'm trying to find my B25 amongst my documents. Skills Development Levies Amendment Bill, B25-2010. Shall we start, members? The first page, we have Clause 1 and Clause 2. Any issues, objection to Clause 1 and 2 amendments? We are fine. Page 3 is the memorandum. So we agreed with the bill. We come to Higher Education and Training Laws Amendment Bill, B26-2010. We start. start with page 2, section 1, which clause 1, which I want to make sure on clause, okay, on page 2, anything members, and then we'll come to page 3. Do you agree on page 2? Okay, the second part of page, of clause 2, no, no, sorry, the second part of clause 1 in page 3. I would like to say something, advocate. Page 3, clause 1, A and B, that part, the top part of it. That my understanding is that we are still dealing, that bracket, I'm not so sure what does it mean, but it means that we are still standing with adult basic education and training as per agreement with the community, and that you need to correct the Act, National Qualification Framework Act 2009. It's not 2009, it's 2008, because the Act was passed on 2008 and made into effect in 2009. So we must correct that. And as well, my understanding is that we are leaving as well the level 1 to 4 as per the previous legislations. We are not making any changes on that one as per the request of the committee. I hope I'm correct on that one, because that's what we have requested and agreed upon as the committee. The issue of capacity, we have said the ministry must sort out. That we still standing on the 1 to 4 as per the previous legislation, no changes there because it's a policy shift. I think that was the agreement in our last meeting, and hence it was not raised as an issue from the teacher's presentation. So I'm taking that we are still standing on that position. So with those, I don't know if members, you still have anything that you picked up, but it's the last part of section 1 and section 2. You want to say something, advocate?
Yes, yeah, I just need to get the understanding, because unfortunately I thought this was still open for debate for today because of the presentation, and that's why no amendment being prepared, because I could not anticipate the outcome of the discussion. Chair, the issue, if I read you correct, the definition as proposed got exactly the same implications than the original one. It's just a shorter and more user-friendly version, because it talks about one framework, which is the new direction coming from the National Qualification Framework Act, to talk about the 10 different levels on the NQF. And therefore, it's a cleaning up of a framework, which is a sub-framework within that sub-framework, which is ABET levels 1 to 4, which leads to confusion. And the intention was to deal with level 1 on the NQF as a definition, because it's not changing anything. The ABET levels within the qualification structure on NQF level 1 is still there. It's not changing that at all. And this act is not needed for it. What we've tried to do here is just to bring it in alignment with the totality of the structure and talk about NQF levels only and avoid confusion. Because of the fact that you talk about levels, and ABET levels 1 to 4 is not the same as NQF levels 1 to 4. It's not. And therefore, the intention was just to clarify it. But yeah, if I read you correct in your summary of it, the word basic, I'm not sure, it seems to me that is coming out of the definition.
I'm saying the basic, my understanding is that as per the DG, we are clarifying that adult basic education and training remains. So I'm saying, I'm not so sure what does the bracket mean, because in the legislation, there is no definition to when you put something in bracket, what does it mean to us? It's explained only the...
If it's in bracket,
it says omission.
Then it's out. but this and the line is in.
No, that's I think the discussion this morning has said to us that the basic remains in the that's what the teacher was saying.
Yes.
Hence my understanding. I don't know.
No, see, that's not how I understood it.
We're still debating that budget.
No.
Members, what?
No, the understanding is that that basic comes out. It's out as it is there.
The agreement is that we are left with only adult education and training, and then we remove the. That's okay. I wanted to be sure that at least members are still up. Okay, that one is.
Doesn't the word one sentence that basic is limiting?
No. It's fine. Not definition. It's fine. Let's get to. Okay, that one is sorted. And then the levels, level 1 to 4. Advocate, you are saying that to remove confusion, you are removing, you are only adults on level 1, remaining with that. Removing to level 4, am I correct?
What I'm saying is the current definition is talk about equivalence qualification on either grade 9 or in the school or, and the word is, or NQF level 1. Now, NQF level 1 is in terms of the new structure in the NQF Act, the category or the level within which the category of qualifications offered by this institution are placed. And what we've tried to do is to clarify it, to make the language in this Act and the references to levels on the NQF consistent with that Act and any other education legislation. It's not a change to it. The fact that there is in level 1 on the NQF a breakdown of ABET levels 1 to 4 is not changing the fact that they are on NQF level 1 as the main category as provided for in the NQF Act. And this definition is just aligning it with that position.
Thank you, Shay. I think that maybe perhaps if you see the visual graph of what Advocate Boshoff is trying to say, then it dispenses the fear of what the effect is. I actually printed it from the internet, and all that is happening here, if I should just take the committee through, just to explain further what is happening in that definition. When we look at the current legislation, the draft before us, the reference was made to the South African Qualifications Authority, and the way that was set was that ABET was broken down into 4 levels. Now, if we still look at the definition, the proposed definition, the underlying bit in that clause speaks about National Qualifications Framework Act. Now, all that's happened here is that the NQF has grouped the 1 to 4 that ABET usually refer to, and that 1 to 4 is now called a 1. So it's still the same thing. That's all that's happening here is cosmetics. They're trying to clean it up in terms of the NQF table. So when you read the legislation, all that this legislation says is look at the NQF level, not the qualification type. I've got it here. Members could maybe, I could circulate this. If you look at the first column on the left, it says NQF, and on the far right, it speaks about qualification level. But if you go right down to the bottom, you'll see ABET 4 equals the NQF 1. And that's basically what the definition is doing. It's just cleaning up the cosmetics in terms of the NQF level. Thank you.
I think I'm comfortable because I thought they were changing the ABET level from ABET level 4, dropping it down to level 1. Now I understand because it's NQF level 1, which is equivalent to your NQF level 4 in terms of, yeah, which I think I'm comfortable with it. Hence, I was saying earlier on, I thought policy shift for us. So, members, are we comfortable now with page 3? Oh, we're still waiting.
Clause, I was still on clause 1. D, just to note our at this stage our objection to that definition. Thank you. The IFP objection.
Thanks, Honourable Mponja. There was a concern from the committee where it was raised, if you can remember, advocate, that we can't just say an educator. I think we stopped the teacher from it, from presenting on that one. Now I remember. In terms of the educator, to say that you can't say educator as anyone who, any person who teaches, educates, or trains another person or provides professional education. Do you want to speak to that before we proceed? My apologies. I think I stopped teacher from speaking to it. I forgot.
No, thank you, Chair. Chair, the issue of the definition of educator is what is currently in the definition of educator as is in the ABET Act, the current act. But because of the fact that this definition was also provided for in the Employment of Educators Act in relation to posts on the establishment of the ABET centers, we had to add that last part of it, and because of that it is also referring to public centers in order to deal with the post on that public centers, and that is the consequence of drawing in a provision or a number of sections currently contained in the Employment of Educators Act, an act which is primarily assigned to the Minister of Basic Education, and which is making it very difficult for this department and these institutions to manage it, borrowing from that legislation all the time through that reference. And it has been brought into it, and because of that, the only thing we've added is to clarify that aspect. Now, Chair, the issue that the committee members raised is that of extending the definition to include the aspect of means a person that is not teach, educate, or trained, but other person to provide other person or provides professional educational services. And here, the word that it seems that caused some disconcert is the word that we put in another person after trains another person. Now, the rest of those that's not underlined is what's currently in the definition. Now, the word other person in that that we've included is to replace the word learner. And the word learner it is just wider than another person, but obviously includes the concept of a learner. And it is, according to our evaluation, not changing the definition of the relating to that portion of the definition that say that teaches, educates, or train the other person. Chair, it is also then the next part of the definition which deals with or provide professional educational services seems to be the another issue that caused some contention, although it is part of the existing definition. Chair, first of all, currently there are people employed in, as a result of that wording, and to just take it away are causing labor complications, because people who are currently clarified as an or classified as an education and got a dispensation flowing from the educators' conditions of service, will they not be qualifying to be an educator anymore? So that is one very important consequence if we need to, if the committee need to amend that. And secondly, it is important that professional services as part of the concept of an educator system, psychological services and also professional therapy, has been a known category within the education system, and obviously it is a area where a lot of debate is going on to say, should they be clarified under their professional code, or should they be linked to schools, to education institutions, and get the same dispensation. Chair, the department sees that as a policy issue which is still open for debate, and as this is a technical amendment which need to just clarify the consequences of moving this legislation and other legislation not under the control of the minister into the authority of the minister, it is at this point in time not the opportune moment to support it, but obviously it's a very important issue and will be a very important aspect in the policy development on the concept of what should be defined as an educator or a teacher or whatever terminology used in that policy instrument.
Our concern was that we did not want unqualified teachers to teach. I am now satisfied. I mean, the way it's written here is legalese and, you know, speak. And sometimes the law is a bit of an ass, but I mean, I understand that you've covered it. Not in the definition, but what follows. That is, the appointments are made then by the department on the basis of approved schedules and therefore the qualification thing. And it falls away. So I'm quite happy with what's here. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I also see, well, my sentiments are Honourable James. My brother was just Advocate Boshoff. I take what is here, but it's not comforting to hear what you say in defense of maintaining an abnormal situation and not wanting to do away with educator only because it's going to upset the labor thing. I'm just saying you wouldn't want to maintain a non-professional thing by saying, well, the reason we want to keep it is because we don't want to upset everybody else. It's just not right. But I take what is now here.
Yeah, just to clarify, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that when you do it, you must deal with it within a policy structure where the consequences of that is clearly spelled out in order to provide that outcome for those affected by the decision. So we actually support the need to look at it, but not in this process, but in a further process where that outcome, the consequences, can be dealt with completely within the legislative framework in order to avoid a situation where you land in court on unfair labor practices.
And the principal act, we did object to the very same thing. That's what I'm okay.
We are not raising your objections on this regard.
I mean, what I was doing is to alert the committee, because come the debating day, you must be surprised when I stand up as an IFPS, but as an IFPS, I object to this. I should say to the committee level what the IFP feels about the particular clause. That was.
It's just for the purposes of debate. Okay. Okay, very nice. Okay, members, shall we proceed? So, clause 1 is agreed upon with that, just that change. You didn't comment on my 2008 and 2009.
That
you
is absolutely correct, and that will be, we will draft a technical amendment to that effect. That will be It will read as follows on page 3 in line 8, to omit 2009 and substitute with 2008.
Okay. Clause 2. At the bottom, we are okay with it. We move to page 4. There's chapter 3 at the bottom. We've got clause 3, 4, and then there's chapter 3. I'm just trying to remember. I shouldn't miss that one, that amendment that is there. Just remind me if I get to that. Anything on that page? Honorable Jay?
Let's see, get the numbers right. This is chapter 3, and it's the second clause that starts with, for the purposes of determining salaries and other conditions of service of educators. It then says the minister shall be the employer of all educators. Does that mean that he or she is the employer for FET colleges, for example, and not the council of the FET colleges? Or does he cede his authority to those colleges?
Chair, this is an amendment to the Adult Basic Education and Training Act, not the FET Colleges Act. And currently, the minister is the employer of the educators employed in the ABA centers when it comes to conditions of service. There's different layers of employers. The employer who determine the post establishment will be the MEC in the various provinces. The one that deals with the day-to-day responsibility as the employer is the head of department. But yeah, that is the current position that as is reflected in the Employment of Educators Act. And the question is yes, for conditions of service, the minister is the employer.
Okay, fine. Shall we proceed to page 5? Okay, it's proceeding with chapter 3, 20F, 20G, 28, and 20I. Anything on that? Agreed upon. Page 6, 20J and 20K. Anything on that? Agreed upon. Page 7, 20L, 20M, 20N, 20O, 20P. Anything on that? Agreed upon. Page 8, 20Q, and section 5 is the last one of section of chapter 4A in Act. Okay, we're fine on that one. And 5, are we fine on that one? The last part of the chapter 3? Chapter 4A, 25A, 25B. Anything on that? Agreed upon. Page 9, 25C. Anything? Agreed upon. Page 10, 25D, 25E, 25F, 25G, which goes to page 11, 25G. Agreed upon. Page 11, 25H and 25I. Anything on that one? Agreed upon. Page 12, 25J. And then we have clause 6, 32, and we have clause 7, clause 9. Anything on that page? Agreed upon. 5P will agree with the remainder of the bill, Honorable Mponjani. We don't have issues going forward. as you leave us, so we agree. Thank you. I have your veto rights of voting. Page 13, chapter 6. I hope, Advocate Person, that chapter, this one, I haven't arrived on it. Okay. I'm worried. I thought I've passed. Okay, 41A and 41B. Anything on it? Upgrade upon. Page 14. 41C. Anything on it? Agreed upon. Page 15. 41D. 41E. 41F. 41G. Anything on it? Agreed upon. Page 16. Remainder of 41G. 41H. 41I. Anything? Agreed upon. Page 17. 41J, 41K, 41L. Anything on it? Agreed upon. For page 18, 41M, and then section 11, clause 11, clause 12. We have an amendment on clause 12. It says on page 18 on from line 20, which is clause 12 on A, to omit subsection 1 and substitute subsection 1, which will read as follows. The minister may prescribe minimum norms and standards for further education and training programs leading to qualification within the sub-framework for general and further education and training contemplated in section 7A, read with section 13(1)(h) of the National Qualification Framework Act that are offered at colleges. So that's the substitution of clause 12, agreed upon. We agree. And then page 19 to 20, it's memorandum. So as the committee, we have agreed upon the bill, which means that the bills will be going for National Assembly to be passed by Parliament. According to the program or indication from the programming, we are likely to have these bills on Thursday next week. But I think members will be notified through their chief whip or their programming officers as to what will happen, and parties will have to prepare accordingly for the debate in the House. On that note, I do not have any other issue. I just have an announcement, members, that we were expected to attend the Skills Summit this Thursday and Friday. Unfortunately, due to the bills that are being passed in the National Assembly, no member of the committee has received an approval from Chief Whip of the majority party, which I think is going to be in consultation or with the other whips, because we need majority. We have experienced that we do not have a quorum in the House for the last bill that was supposed to be passed. So we are said that our primary function as members of Parliament is to pass laws. So we are all expected to be in the House on Thursday to attend the House, and therefore we cannot attend the summit, because on Friday it's almost closing remarks and all that. So we felt that it would be useless to arrange, and it would be fruitless expenditure to arrange for members to go only on Friday. Honorable James, you wanted to?
I just wanted to ask whether anybody attending the summit can report to this committee.
We have arranged for the researcher to be attending on behalf of the committee, so she would do a report for us. Thanks. Okay, thank you very much, members. In that note, the meeting is adjourned. Thanks a lot.
I know we've adjourned. I just wanted to say that that Honorable Banama and I, this is our last meeting of this committee. Yes. So we've been redeployed. Thank you.
I don't have a card. That's what you know. I'm going to be very useful. I'm going to be very useful. What kind of skills?
Chair, on behalf of the committee, I know you didn't ask me to, but it was quite a privilege to have served with the respective honorable members, and we wish them well where we were going. Thank you very much. All the but we'll be with you, honorable chair.
Academic.